Oh, snaps.
The world is finally waking up to the crap that's baked into and sprayed on kibble dog food. No longer can commercial pet food manufacturers fool us with pretty pictures and false promises. This is the raw dog food truth. The view and opinions expressed on this podcast are not intended to replace medical advice. Before starting any raw diet, do research, ask lots of questions, and consult your vet.
Well, good morning, everybody. I am Dee Dee Mercer Moffitt, the CEO of Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business and where friends don't let friends feed kibble, because that is called CKS, crappy kibble syndrome. And my favorite hero in busting out of the crappy kibble syndrome mindset is Dr. Judy Jasek. How are you today?
I'm good. It's good to be back. It's been a few weeks. You know, we've been coming and going. You guys been coming and going. So it's good to be back, because we got to get to, you know, saving the world.
saving the world one pet at a time. I know. I tell you what, things are getting a little crazy out there right now in the medical world, right? Things are just getting nutty. And so I really want people to be informed and to be brave and to have courage. It was funny. I was reading in my book that I wrote, I forgot what year I wrote this book, but you know, my Snap Yes book. Mm-hmm. And in the chapter, it says, you know, do you have big balls of courage? Do you have big balls of courage? But it says this, you know, on page 93, it says, everyone talks about courage and confidence like they're qualities you can snap your fingers and instantly possess. But that's not the way it works. Before you can grow your courage, you have to have something you're afraid of. And before you can grow your confidence, you have to overcome that fear by feeling it and facing it anyway. And that's how big balls of courage are grown. First, it's fear, feeling is second, finding out you're going to survive is third, and fourth is repeating that process again and again and again. And I think that that is relevant today for our pet parents when they are up against, Dr. Jasek, the traditional health professionals who are going to poo-poo the raw diet. And I get these emails all the time. Crazy stuff. Were we talking when the newest one just came out that raw food causes fatty buildup around the heart? And so they need to see the cardiologist.
I have actually not heard that particular one. I'm not surprised that it's out there, but I have not heard that particular. A lot of this stuff is just all made up. Nothing they make up anymore would really surprise me.
You know, but we have to be courageous and be able to ask questions and not get pushed back because somebody looks at you sideways. My gosh, Dr. Jasek, people look at me sideways all the time.
Yeah. You know, I think this courage thing, it's like a muscle. You have to condition it. You know, you have to get used to, you got to be okay with not being accepted by everybody, and, you know, get comfortable with being a little uncomfortable, you know, because if we don't get a little uncomfortable, we're just going to fall into all this mainstream brainwashing. And it's not easy to go against the stream, but people like you and I, Dee Dee, we've been going against the stream for a long time. So this is nothing new. And if anything, it keeps getting worse. I think the mainstream, just in both on the human side and on the pet side, just keeps getting more and more absurd and toxic. And the recommendations are just so bad for both people and pets, and people have to wake up, and you have to speak out. You know, nobody's going to do it for you. And if you just get sucked in, you know, like we were talking before the podcast about, you know, I see clients that come in all the time. They go to these band fields, these corporates, they have these wellness plans, and they get sucked in because they pay like a certain amount, and then they get quote unquote free. It's not exactly free, but you know, because they're paying, but they have like a membership fee, and then they can go in. So they've already sort of prepaid. So then people feel obligated to go in and finish it up. Like, don't do that. Don't get sucked in. Think about your pet and think about what's best for your pet. And just don't fall for all this marketing propaganda.
Well, you know, speaking of Banfield, you know, I send out an email every week, and it has our podcast on it, and then it has an article, and then it has some products. And this week I decided that I was going to post an article from Dr. William Faulkner. And this, I posted the whole thing. And this one happened to be on the rabies vaccine, because he said, you know, we hear this all the time. Oh, this is going to be a really bad year for dogs and allergies. And he's like, look, you know, when these dogs start this reverse sneezing, he was talking about reverse sneezing and all this kind of stuff and what the real culprit typically is. But I thought it was interesting because in this article, he said, your best bet here, this is, I'm quoting the article. He said, your best bet is to get seriously aware of the gross over vaccination happening around you and get out of that crazy health damaging machine. In parentheses, he says, looking at you, Banfield. And so, you know, I don't know. And I put on this article before I sent it out. I said, warning, this may offend some people. Okay. Some readers, because what we know, Dr. Jacek, is this cognitive dissonance. Cognitive dissonance. If you guys don't understand cognitive dissonance, you need to understand it, because it can really lead you down and your pet down a not a very healthy path. And what I mean by that is this: if you have bought into something, right? You don't want to do your research. You just want to believe somebody. You want somebody to tell you what to do. And what they have told you to do is damaging to either you or your pet. You typically will not look at any other evidence because you've already done that thing. And I see this a lot with pet parents that come over from a kibble diet or have done the traditional vaccination schedule, and their dogs end up with cancer. And I'm sure you hear this a lot. And they're like, I didn't know. And they feel terrible. Mm-hmm. But this is what cognitive dissonance will do. It will not allow you to look at something that you have done, because you will feel terrible. So you just shut out all of this other information and you keep walking the party line. But eventually you're going to have to pay the piper.
Right. And you know, you can only do what you know. I mean, I get it. You know, people come in sometimes, they feel really guilty. They realize that probably some, you know, vaccines have injured their pet. And yeah, that makes you feel terrible. But you're at that point in time, you were doing the best you could. The important thing is, once you know differently, do differently. It's this, like you're talking about, put on the blinders. Okay, now I know differently. But if I acknowledge that, I might feel a little guilty, and I don't want to feel guilty. So I'm just going to ignore that piece of information and go forward with what I was doing, because I want to feel good. Like, let's get a little uncomfortable and face the truth, because the truth is what really we need. And that's what's going to keep us healthy and keep our pets healthy. And if you just want to put your blinders on and ignore, you know, the new information, well, then you're going to keep going down the same road, and nothing's going to change. And it might be a little more comfortable initially, but it's not going to be in the best interest of your pet's health.
Yeah. You know, and I was reading another article by Dr. Bassing Wait. He's from, his name is very Bassing Bassith Wait. The spelling on his last name, I don't know how you say it. BASSINGTHWAIGHTE. Whew. Would you hate to have to spell that all the time? But, you know, he's talking about, you know, a natural immune response. Now, this is a huge debate in the world today, right? Do your dogs, you know, do they have natural immunity? And he said, look, and he's talking about skin disease linked to vaccines, allergies linked to vaccines, right? And he said, here's something that's really important to understand. A dog's immune system, it's evolved to react and to protect from pathogens, viruses, and bacteria by natural exposure. And he says natural exposure to a disease happens when a dog is exposed to a virus or bacteria in their environment. And those particles are taken in by the mouth or the nose, right?
Yep.
And he said, but if there's a low level of contamination in your dog where they're exposed to a disease, they mount an immune response without showing any signs of illness, even though their immune system has been working overtime. So he says dogs who are exposed to pathogens don't get ill, and they produce what? Antibodies. And then they can pass a titer test that shows they're protected from that disease, even if they've never been vaccinated. So we have this thing called natural immunity. And I think that there's a lot of information coming out right now on the human side. We've got a lot of whistleblowers who are saying, look, yeah, your natural immunity does work. No matter what people say, you cannot. How did we survive before all these vaccines, Dr. Jacek? How did we survive?
Right. Well, you know, the Parvo vaccine for dogs came out, I think, maybe around 1980 or so, which really makes me wonder about the origins of that whole thing from some of the things I'm learning about viruses and such, that, you know, that diseases are created in our kind of in our minds and in our culture to sell vaccines, that maybe these viruses are not as big of a risk as we think they are, or indeed may not even exist at all. That's kind of another rabbit hole, but it makes you wonder. So if parvo is so deadly and we have to vaccinate all our dogs for parvo in order to keep them from dying from this, what did the dogs do before 1980? Like they were alive, you know, like, I mean, does that make you wonder? Like, okay, all of a sudden parvo became a thing. And I remember my first boss, who's about 10 years older than I was. And I got out of that school in 88. And she's told me that like earlier, like 1980s, around 1980-ish, dogs started getting this really severe intestinal disease and nobody knew what it was. And she said they were doing exploratory surgeries, opening dogs up, trying to figure out what the heck. And then all of a sudden, somebody identifies, oh, it's this parvovirus. We need to start vaccinating all of them. Huh. Anymore, that's a little suspicious to me. You know, and what I see in my patients is, you know, this whole thing about natural immunity. I think the absolute worst thing you can do to a young puppy, especially these little 5, 6, 7 week olds, is start vaccinating them. Their immune systems are just learning to explore the world, and then you disrupt it. And I think we get chronic inflammatory disease that sometimes we just can't get better. So we see some of this chronic skin stuff and chronic GI stuff that is just so hard to clear up. I think some dogs get their natural immunity gets so hammered when they're young that I think some cases we just can't get them over it. Because I have some cases where I'm just like beating my head against the wall. How do I get these pets better? I do everything that I know, and they still have symptoms. And you know, there's a lot of information coming out now with all this use of ivermectin about the incidence of parasites in pets. And they've actually, I listened to one podcast. This was on the human side, but they said that psoriasis in people is due to parasites, microorganisms. And some people have cleared up their psoriasis by putting ivermectin on their skin topically. Like, wow, that's pretty interesting. So that's something else I'm going to explore. Some of these more chronic cases that I can't clear up doing not conventional antiparasitics, but there's some herbal blends that, you know, there's herbs like wormwood, and there's a variety of them that can help eliminate parasites from the body. And I wonder if some of the stuff we're seeing is more parasite related, because with all the people taking ivermectin now and feeling better, ivermectin primarily is an antiparasitic. And so it kind of indicates that maybe parasites are a bigger part of health than we recognize. And especially as humans in the United States, like I don't have parasites. Like that's gross. You know, people in third world countries get those, but I think that might be more a part of the issue. So I think this whole paradigm of, well, we just keep throwing in the vaccines and that's what's going to make them healthy. I think it makes pets so much sicker. Like you were saying too, Dee Dee, the natural route of exposure is through the mouth and the nose. When we inject these antigens and all the preservatives and all the other crap that goes around with them, along with them, the immune system doesn't know what to do with that. And then, and we get allergic reactions because the body's trying to get rid of all these toxins. And it sort of doesn't know what to do with this, all these foreign substances. And then when you confuse the immune system to that degree in a young puppy, you know, take a little 6 week old puppy that is, the immune system is still developing, and you start hammering them with vaccines. I think the vaccine or the immune system gets so confused, it doesn't know what's friend or foe anymore. And we get autoimmune disease and cancer and all of these things showing up. I just anymore, I think build some immunity in a young puppy. You know, I do a real minimal vaccine protocol. We offer no sods, but this business of 3 or 4 boosters and then boostering, you know, once a year. I mean, I know like the corporate clinics, they have people in there every 6 months for some shot or another. And then we end up seeing those for cancer at some point. So it just, vaccines are not the hallmark of health that the, you know, powers that be would like us to believe. It's keeping the body healthy foundationally with good, starting with good nutrition. First of all, we have to correct nutrition. So their pets are not deficient in essential nutrients, and we're giving them a species appropriate, well-balanced diet. And then we stop freaking poisoning them with all these vaccines and pharmaceuticals. And every time, you know, you take your dog into the vet and they want to give you another drug, give you another antibiotic, I can tell you, you know, these cases, the more rounds of pharmaceuticals that pets have been on when I see them, the harder it is to get them straightened out, because it just messes with them. And I have believed this for years. And as time goes on, I think it's more and more and more true. It's proving itself out. Like, I don't need a study. I see it every day in my practice, that if we feed appropriately and we stop poisoning our pets with these vaccines and pharmaceuticals, they're going to be healthy. 80% of our health conditions are going to go away. But I do think that some of these pets just get so hammered so young in life that it's hard to get them back. And also, I think there's a generational effect. So a puppy that comes from generations of being kibble fed and over vaccinated, they are not going to have as strong of a composition, genetic composition, as a puppy that comes from several generations of raw feeding and minimal vaccines. I think that because the you know, few breeders that I do work with that do these really clean, you know, clean diets and minimal vaccines and everything, puppies are just so much healthy. I'm not seeing them in for itchy skins. Rare. Every now and then I will, but it's very rare to see those dogs back in for, you know, itchy skin, chronic GI issues, things like that. You know, we just don't see it. So I'm seeing this proved out in my practice, you know, day in and day out. I've been doing this for almost 35 years.
Oh, well, you don't know what you're talking about.
Kind of been there, done that.
We need for you to have 60 years in order to be valid. I mean, come on.
I don't know. I can make it that long.
But, you know, Dr. Blasingwaite, and I think that's how you say Blasingwaite, he says the same thing. He's like, look, our innate immune system is an elegantly orchestrated thing, right? But when you inject a vaccine, as you were saying, under the skin, it unnaturally shocks your dog's immune system, right? Suddenly your dog has to deal with these high dose of pathogens, and it's unnatural. And so when these vaccines are given to the dog, they don't have just one pathogen in them, right? They usually have 4. Now we're seeing 6, right? Distemper, hepatitis, parvo virus, parainfluenza. So it's it's very rare for a dog to get exposed to high levels of more than one dangerous pathogen at a time with natural exposure. So what he's saying is this is so unnatural. And these vaccines contain adjuvants, right? That's what we're always talking about. It's a cocktail of chemicals designed to send the immune system and the inflammatory response into hyperdrive. And that's not a good thing. So what happens? The immune system starts dysregulation, right? It's totally confused.
Totally confused. And you know what else I've heard? And this is again on the human side, but you know, keep in mind that this is all the same industry. So when I look at things on the human side and what's going on in the current, you know, vaccine world, I think some of this stuff is going to be applicable to our pets because it's all the same industry. It's the same companies, you know, Pfizer on the veterinary side, they're Zoetis, you know, like they call themselves something different. This is all a big corporate conglomerate, and veterinary medicine is a division of human medicine. So when I see these really scary pictures about what may be in this COVID jab, I'm thinking, wow, is anybody looking at these vials? I should do that. I mean, you know, literally doctors are taking drops of the, you know, COVID vaccine, looking at them under a microscope and finding all kinds of scary stuff. And I should do that. I should do that with like our, you know, cause I do have some monovalent vaccines here. I do carry a rabies vaccine. But it really makes me wonder cause these vaccines are not extensively tested. And you know, what I heard on the human side is that they consider another reason they do these adjuvants, you know, like you said, is it super activates the immune system. And the only thing they check is for a reaction at the injection site. So as long as the ingredients in there cause some sort of reaction at the injection site, then the vaccine is doing its job. How bizarre is that? Like they're not checking, they're not looking for other side effects. They just say, okay, vaccine stimulated a local reaction, must be effective. And I think the vaccines and the veterinary side are even less tested. It's just this paradigm that keep your pet healthy, got to bring it. People have been so trained for years and years and years. Even my patients that come in to see me, cancer patients, pets with chronic illnesses, they'll go back into one of their more conventional veterinarians. Oh, yeah, due for rabies, due for lepto, due for bordetella. And so it's like one of the first things I always remember to tell people, do not do any more vaccines if we have a sick pet, because the vets will just do it. It's almost, you know, pets are subject to vaccine mandates as well. Most clinics, conventional clinics, will not let pets in even for an emergency without updating vaccines. And so that's ridiculous and it's wrong. We shouldn't be vaccinating sick or injured pets. And it's what's the paradigm? What's so disturbing about that to me is they're not looking at, oh my gosh, this pet is hurt. What can I do to help it? The first thing they're looking at is your pet's due for their rabies shot. What does that have to do with this poor pet that's sick or injured? Like we should be taking care of the pet, you know, not, oh my gosh, I can. And you know what? I'm just going to put it out there. It's profit driven. You know, that's make a lot of money pushing vaccines. And I think it's a business model. Vaccine schedules they're not a health model. They are a business model. And there's a lot of people that make a tremendous amount of money, including the veterinarians who are in defense of some of my colleagues out there that work for these corporate clinics. The vets that work in corporate clinics, like your VCAs and these other companies that buy up all these vet clinics, you know, they do have quotas to meet and they are required to see a certain number of clients in a day. That's why they don't get more than 10 minutes with their clients. And they are required to sell, you know, certain amounts of vaccines and different things. They have these corporate protocols, and to keep their job, they're expected to follow those protocols. Now, personally, I don't know how they can follow those protocols and live with themselves, but you know, they got families to support and, you know, student loan debt and all of that. So they get in a position where they're stuck. Me personally, I'd go, you know, work at Starbucks or something before I could compromise what I considered.
Not Starbucks. Just go to a different one.
Okay. Let's go to like a local.
Yeah.
But, you know, but that's why I do my own thing, right? Out of my house, because nobody is here telling me what I can and can't do. And that's why I, you know, run my own business. My mom will ask me, why don't you just go get a job, you know,
get a paycheck.
I said, because there's no job I could get that where I wouldn't be literally selling my soul. So,
yeah. And I wonder about this, Dr. Jessica. I mean, out of all pain, we come up with more innovative things, right? So
yeah, totally.
You didn't like the way things were going. You couldn't live with yourself. You did something different. Now, all of these nurses, all of the healthcare professionals who are leaving the profession because they see what is happening and they're not going to be a part of it. And I wonder, is there a way that these people could come together and help people? I mean, what the licensing thing, right? So what's going to happen? I mean, can we develop an organization where can they consult? At least, I mean, they're not going to do surgery anyway, but couldn't they consult on how to keep yourself healthy? Just like we have pet nutritionists, not in the corporate way, but the pet nutritionists that could consult. What can we do without a license?
Yeah. I think we better be, I am already thinking about that because you know, they're going to try to go after our licenses. The practitioners that have, you know, they mandated the human side, again, they mandated the vaccine for, you know, healthcare workers. Well, what's going to be the next step? They're going to mandate it for licensing. I just could almost guarantee it. So I've already been thinking about that. And yeah, I think we're going to have to create a whole new paradigm of healthcare on both the human and veterinary side that does not involve traditional licensure. And for me, yeah, I can do nutritional consults. I mean, there's nutritionists that, you know, they're not licensed veterinarians. I can stop doing, you know, pharmaceutical prescriptions. I don't do that much of that anyway. And there's other vets that, you know, people can get that stuff from. But I could continue doing herbs. I can continue doing ozone. I think there's a lot of things that I can continue to do. We are going to have to reinvent how we practice medicine. But, you know, the cool thing, you know, sometimes, you know, the way things work out in the universe is pretty cool, because I started my little home practice just out of this front room of my house. And so why can't, you know, even human practitioners do that kind of thing? They absolutely could. And then you have your surgical facilities or whatever for that type of thing. But I think we really need to reinvent how medicine is practiced. And I think it's going to happen. It's going to have to happen. It's already going down that road. We just don't quite have the, you know, the structure set up. But I think my model, you know, here is really, really good evidence that we can create a new paradigm of, you know, medical treatments that, you know, is separate from the big, you know, the big clinics. You know, big reason why veterinarians do so many vaccines and the pharmaceuticals is there's this whole kind of ideal that, well, you have to get, you know, you have to have this big clinic and you have to have the staff and you have to have all this equipment. Well, it's expensive, right? So what's the bread and butter? Well, a tech can sit there and vaccinate pets all day long with, you know, with a very high profit margin. But my business model now shows that you don't have to do that. It doesn't, you don't have to make your money doing that. And I don't make my money doing that, you know, or it's a very minimal part of my income. Because like I said before, all these vaccines, it's a business model. And practitioners, I guess what I'm getting at is practitioners can't see their way through to how can you have a successful business and make a living. It's not about being profit driven, but come on, we need to make a living, right? We got bills to pay. That you can't make a living without that business model. And I have now proven that yes, you can. And that's one of my goals, is to get, you know, other vets on board with this idea that if they don't want to practice in the conventional model, there are things they can do. They just got to not be chicken and get out there.
Grow your big balls of courage.
give it a try. That's right.
Well, you know what? But the thing about it is, Dr. Jasek, people, we humans are creatures of habit, right? And just like I talk about in my book, you have to be in pain. Mm-hmm. You have to be fearful if you're ever going to probably be pushed by the universe to do something different in your life. Mm-hmm. Or I think that our regrets, our knowing that we're not doing the right thing will totally eat you up from the inside.
Absolutely. You know, I talked to my husband about this, and thank God we're the same mindset. I can't imagine being, you know, married to somebody that you're at odds with on your worldviews. That would be, you know, that'd be really tough. But both of us firmly believe that, you know, we gotta speak our truth in the world. And if I die doing it, I die doing it, but I just can't live any other way. I'm more afraid of how I would feel not living my truth than I am of dying, quite literally. I would rather die knowing that at least I spoke my truth, I lived my truth, I lived honestly, you know, I took care of people honestly, than you know, hiding behind some of these other curtains and these other paradigms that don't ring true for me. Just because I can, you know, like in the human side again, but get on an airplane, or, you know, going to back to the COVID jab, or saying, well, look how much money I could make if I vaccinated pets more or sold more heartworm. You know, that's what a lot of vets do. They just can't see, how are they going to pay their bills if they don't do that? Well, if you really believe, once I really believed and saw the evidence that over vaccinating and these poor quality diets were killing our pets, literally, I had to change the way I practiced. I couldn't live with myself if I didn't. I need to make, no, I was not thinking about it. I need to make these changes right now. I can't do this anymore. And so I figured it out. It was a little painful, you know, figuring out how to make that shift in my practice at the time, because I had bought a conventional practice that financially followed this model. So I had to kind of figure out that. But I couldn't live with myself if I had done it any differently. And I wouldn't have done it any differently, because I have to live my truth. I mean, I just can't function any other way. And that's what makes it hard for me to understand when, especially other medical practitioners that I know have to know better, can just put their blinders on and keep, you know, putting these vaccines and medications into animals and just watching them get sicker and sicker and sicker. Like, isn't this evidence that we need to be doing something differently?
Well, and they can say all they want that they didn't know. But when I hear the absolute nonsensical stuff that we hear coming out of those people's mouths, those health professionals' mouths, they're not stopping and saying, well, wait a second, let me take a look. Maybe there is some validity to a species appropriate diet. Maybe there's some validity to not feeding dry preservatives, synthetic filled food. Maybe there's some validity to what they're doing. Look, we see so many pets that heal, that do heal when you stop putting toxins in their body and you give them real food. We see it every day. We're not trying to convince anybody. As a matter of fact, you know, when we look at like our company, Raw Dog Food and Company, we're not huge out there advertising, right? How have we grown this business? Because you have a pet parent talking to another pet parent, mm-hmm. and mm-hmm. they see their pets. And we just had, you know, somebody, they were going to Florida for 6 months and they'll be back. They came by the warehouse yesterday, had a freezer in the back of their trailer, this big enclosed trailer that they had hooked up with batteries. They filled that freezer up and they said, you know, we love this food so much. We don't preach it to people, but people ask us all the time mm-hmm. about why our dogs look great. And then they're open to the discussion. So what I'm saying is that there's no way that they don't know that something is going on, but there's cognitive dissonance. They don't want to stop, doing what they're doing because they can't see a way out. And until you get really uncomfortable and you have to make a different decision, maybe based on life or death, because that seems to be the way that we're going. Mm-hmm. Maybe you don't see options, but you will. And I think it's a great testimony, Dr. Jasek, that you just kept walking, you kept having faith, and now look at your business. It's incredible. And so, listen, you guys, I think it's a great idea to go over and talk with Dr. Jasek. If you've gotten some information that says, oh my gosh, your dog's loaded with bacteria. I had that one this week. Where did my dog get this bacteria? They're just eating raw food. Well, your dog has 20% of, you know, Salmonella, E. coli, and other, you know, Clostridium roaming around in their system at all time. Okay. Mm-hmm. Go over to ahavet.com. See Dr. Jasek. She will help you. She won't get you on this crazy, you know, let's do this vaccine, let's do that vaccine. Let's, you know, we're going to clean out the system. We're going to get you on a species appropriate diet. Go to our learning center at rawdogfoodandco.com. We have so much great information. Podcast is there. Remember, every Thursday night is Yappy Hour. Dr. Jasek has got to go. So thank you guys for listening to the podcast today. Go to Raw Dog Food and Company, where your pet's health is our business. And my friends don't let friends feed kibble. We'll see you next week, everybody. Bye-bye.
Oh, snap.
Find out how you can start your dog on the road to health and longevity. Go to rawdogfoodandcompany.com, where friends don't let friends feed kibble, and where your pet's health is our business.
Just snap.